We can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
I guess you're wondering, who is this David Eales, right? Not that that's very, very important. Yeah, the main thing is the Lord, right? He can use even a jackass, can't he? So we praise God for that. He can use me. You know, I had a brother ask me recently. He said, in fact, I was doing tours with the Prophecy Club, and the brother asked me, he says, well, why should we listen to you? What is your qualification, you know? Of course, I pointed out that I don't have any letters behind my name, and but then, of course, Jesus didn't either. But my greatest qualification I've always considered is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says that God chose the weak things of the world, and that he might put to shame the things that are strong, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised did God choose, yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are, so that no flesh should glory before God. So it's really not important who we are, it's important who Jesus is. And it's important that he can find a vessel through whom he can live and through whom he can speak. The sad part is that we need to be a weak vessel so that we don't trust in ourselves, but we trust in the power of God. We're always dependent upon him to be our thoughts and to be our voice, and to so that we are not able to get out on our own and get ahead of him in things. You know, we have to be dependent upon him. You know, for that reason, Jesus chose people to do his will. They were quite different than what your normal religious people choose to be their leaders or whatever, you know. God choosing the weak things of the world, in Jesus' case, for instance, the Bible says in John chapter 7, it says in verse 14, but when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up unto the temple and taught. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus therefore answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. You know, the religious leaders had no idea why or how Jesus could have had this knowledge, having not gone through their educational system. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8 considered that all of the education that he had in religion was dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, we see that the Pharisees had taken captive some of Jesus' disciples and was about to call them on the carpet, you know, and forbid them to speak any more in his name. These people who, verse 11 says that, it says that he is the stone which was set at naught of you the builders, which was made the head of the corner. And of course, Jesus was the stone that was rejected by the leaders of Judaism. And I want to tell you folks, nothing has changed. History just keeps on repeating things that have been or the things that shall be. If a person is one of those weak vessels through whom the Lord God can move, they will be persecuted and they will be put upon. Verse 13 says, now, when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't it interesting? You know, the world takes notice when God uses someone. It's no exciting thing to see people who have their own gifts being used. But that's the way of the worldly church. They think this is the only way that God can do it, and so they choose people like that. I'm pointing this out to say this, that what God told to Paul was that my power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, well, since that's so, I will glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, our weakness is an advantage in the kingdom of God. When the Lord chose me over 30 years ago, I was a very self-sufficient person. I was not interested in following the Lord. I was interested in pleasing myself. I had lots of hobbies. I would get drunk regularly, and I would smoke dope regularly, and I was generally enjoying the world, or I thought I was enjoying the world. I didn't come in the way a lot of people come, having been knocked down and in desperation looking up to the Lord. It was a little different with me. I think the Lord draws us all a little differently. It was a little different with me. I was actually enjoying the world, but I was curious about the Lord. Had a good friend spoke to me and told me about the fulfillment of prophecy, got me curious about the Word of God, merely curious. Again, no repentance whatsoever, just curiosity. So I started, I picked up the Bible just for curiosity. I wanted to see about these prophecies that came true, you know. I had an interest in supernatural things, not necessarily God. So I started reading the Bible, and I tell you, something supernatural happened to me. You know, God chose me out of a family of pretty intelligent people. I was the guy that didn't go to college. I was the guy that was too busy enjoying the world to want to buckle down and do that much studying. I was the guy that probably hadn't read one book before I picked up the Bible. But when I picked up the Bible, I couldn't put it down. It was a supernatural gift of God that fell over me at that time, to where I just read and read and read. Every spare moment of the day, I had only one interest, and it was to read the Word of God, which was so strange and foreign to the way I was before. The supernatural gift of desiring the truth and desiring the Word fell over me, and before I knew it, I was believing everything that I was reading, and I was believing that God was God, and I couldn't pick out a point and say this is where I repented. It was just as I read, I changed my mind. This is the Word of God, I realized. And suddenly all my hobbies just fell by the wayside. You know, I had built race cars and choppers, and I had dirt bikes and speed boats, and I had big campers and things, and I had a well-fitted out shop to build things with, and then had a gun collection because I built guns. And I just, you know, I had an interest in the things of the world and a love of the world, but suddenly all this stuff just ran off of me like water off of a duck's back. I had no more interest in it. Didn't touch it. Didn't touch my tools. Didn't touch these things, because I had this consuming interest to find out about God. It all happened when I picked the Bible up, started reading the Bible. And everybody knew that something strange had happened to me, because I wasn't a studious person. I tried my best to skip out of the last 3 years of high school. I was found quite often in a pool hall or a bar room during that time, and had no interest in God. But suddenly, it consumed me, you know, to find out about God. And even up until this day, my only interest is really God and His kingdom and promoting His kingdom. And being consumed with this, I realize it has nothing to do with my intellectual ability, and that those things in many ways just hinder the work of God in me. Some of my family, who are extremely intelligent, are too intelligent for their own good. But myself, you know, when people started prophesying to me, which started shortly after I came to the Lord, started prophesying to me that I would be teaching God's people and that I would receive great light in the latter days to share with God's people, I thought, no, they got the wrong guy, because I just wasn't the kind of person that wanted to get up and share anything in front of people. I was a very introverted person. Even in high school, I would tell my teachers, look, I'm not getting up in front of the class. You just give me an F because I'm not getting up there. I was just very introverted. And I realized that this is God's method of choosing the weak of the world. People who cannot, have no natural gift to do this and have to depend upon God. I tremble every time I think about getting in front of people or getting on the radio or whatever. After I get up there, I feel the anointing and I feel really good and confident. But leading up to that point, sometimes I'm kind of nervous because, you know, I came through a family that was had a strong spirit of rejection. And the Lord has overcome quite a bit of that in me. You know, but I feel like Moses felt. When I read the story of Moses, in Exodus, when God chose him to go forth and to lead the people of God. And I'm not comparing Moses to myself. I'm comparing his attitude and his lack of self-confidence to myself, you know. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, when God was calling Moses, and he said, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God, for almost a whole chapter there, was trying to talk Moses into this thing, and Moses was trying to talk God out of it. In verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. In other words, I wasn't eloquent before, and even since you started telling me this, I'm still not eloquent. For I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh a man dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? In other words, I made you and I made your mouth and I can make them work. Just trust in me. Well, that's what I have to do, folks. I have to trust in God. Now, I want to tell you what's happened to me. Before I was a year old in the Lord, in fact, for almost a year there, I was praying to God that I wanted the truth and I wanted understanding. I wanted him to open my eyes and help me to see the truth. And I realized afterwards that I thought I had the truth, but this prayer just kept coming into my mind and out of my mouth, and I prayed it for almost a year. And about the end of that year, I received a gift from God. And I received two gifts from God, matter of fact. During that year, I had three prophets come to me and prophesy that the Lord had given me the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. They didn't know one another. They came from different parts of the country, but the Lord sent them to me to say those things. And I realized it was the truth. About a year after coming into the Lord, the Lord started manifesting in me word of knowledge and word of wisdom concerning doctrines of Scripture, concerning things that were coming in the end time. I remember the first time it happened to me. I was in a church. This was the second church I went into after I got saved. The first one I didn't stay in for very long because I realized that they didn't believe most of what the Bible said. It was a religion that didn't believe in the full gospel, didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, didn't believe in the power of God, and you could write a whole book on what they didn't believe. So I didn't stay there but about a month. Like the people, I just didn't like the word. And you see, I'd been raised a Catholic, and I hadn't really studied the word, so I didn't have any background to either agree with or run away from. I just didn't know the word. When I started reading the word, I believed it. And when I started reading the word, I didn't have anybody to tell me that God didn't do these things anymore, because I was just reading it and I was believing everything I saw. And then after I decided I needed to go fellowship with the people of God, I ran into some religions that told me that God doesn't do these things anymore. Well, it didn't take me long to figure out that they didn't know what they were talking about. Because I'm going to tell you what, when I started reading this, having no knowledge of the Word of God, I started trying it out. And I knew God answered prayer. And I knew God was a supernatural God. And I knew God healed the sick. And I knew these things. And they got to me too late to tell me that God didn't do these things anymore. I knew that was just religion. So I went from that into a full gospel religion. And in that particular full gospel religion, there was an argument over the end time, a pre-post-tribulation argument. You know, who's right here? You know, just sets of verses. And myself, being young in the Lord, I was diligently devouring the word for a solid year there, but I still hadn't made up my mind because I saw these two different sets of scriptures. And I was sitting down on my couch one day with these verses all running through my head and big question in my mind, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know that your word doesn't contradict. You've impressed me of the pure truth that's in this word. You know, the word truth in the New Testament is aletheia. It means nothing left out. You know what truth is? Truth is putting the whole puzzle together. It's taking line upon line, here a little and there a little, and putting it all together until you've got the whole picture, like a jigsaw puzzle you're putting together. By putting this verse with that verse, and everything on the subject has to be involved, you see. Because like David said, the sum of thy words is truth. There are religions that have doctrines that are picked from this piece and picked from that part, and they sound very comfortable to the flesh, and they're not usually crucifying to self, and they found their whole religion on these doctrines. But the truth is, you don't have the truth until it fits together and all the verses fit in with your doctrine. As long as you're arguing scriptures with other people and not believing their verses, then you don't have the truth yet. The truth comes from putting all the verses together. The sum of thy words is truth. So read the Bible, accept everything you see. It's all coming from God. Well, with a little bit of this knowledge, I told the Lord that day that, Lord, I know your Bible doesn't contradict, yet I see these verses saying this and these verses saying that. What's the truth here? You know, how do these fit together? And let me tell you what happened. It was just a supernatural thing. I know that some people who have a lack of knowledge of the power of God would say it was of the devil. And but the truth is, it was of God. And God just opened my head up, and he poured a revelation in there of fitting all these verses together and what they were pointing to. And it was like a thunderbolt, you know. My wife was in the kitchen, and I was in the living room, and as soon as these things lined up in a moment, you know, some people say the word of knowledge and wisdom is assimilating knowledge and wisdom, but you know, that's not the truth. You don't assimilate through your senses the word of knowledge and wisdom. They come to you as a gift. It's not a matter of reasoning things out. It comes to you as a gift from God. And suddenly I understood. I just understood. And I jumped up out of my chair and I ran in the kitchen and I told my wife, I says, I understand it. I never received anything like that in my life. I was, of course, for a solid year, assimilating through my senses knowledge of the Word of God. But now suddenly, I had received an instantaneous revelation that put all these verses together that were going through my mind. And I knew it was supernatural. And I also knew that I didn't yet receive a trust for things that came in a supernatural way. So, even after I was so excited, I started thinking about this thing, and I thought, well, God, I'm going to ask you to confirm this to me. I'm going to ask you to send someone to me that's going to give me the exact same revelation of the end time that you spoke to me, because I've never heard of this. And folks, I had gone to my church and tried to share it with them, and they had never heard of it either. You know, the devil doesn't mind getting you overbalanced in one direction or the other direction. He just doesn't want you to balance out with the truth. And many doctrines out there in Christianity are that way. They're overbalanced in one way or overbalanced in the other way. But the truth many times is somewhere in between. But the truth always involves putting all the verses together and accepting everything you see. That's the way the truth is. So I asked the Lord to please send me someone that would tell me the exact same thing he told me. Well, again, I came to see the power of God, because it wasn't a week until God had answered this prayer. Meanwhile, during that week, I was telling the brethren, you know, what the Lord had shown me, and they all said I was crazy, because it wasn't what their church had taught, and it wasn't their experience. But I was showing them how all the scriptures fit, you know. Well, a week later, I'll just go back and tell you the story that led up to this. A man in Lafayette, Louisiana, down the road from Baton Rouge, where I lived, the Lord told him to get on the interstate and to drive in my direction. So he did. And while he was on the interstate, he saw a street sign. And on the street sign, it said 3 miles to 3 L's. Well, you know, my name is Eels, but when people read my name, they always say L's. And, because my name is E-E-L-L-S. It is L's. There are 2 L's in my name, 2 E's and 2 L's in my name. And it was 3 miles to 3 L's. Well, he didn't have the foggiest idea what this meant. But he was obeying God, and he was coming towards Baton Rouge. When he got to Baton Rouge, the Lord impressed him to get off the interstate. And it was right there at the interstate where he got this vision of the 3 miles to 3 L's. So he got off the interstate, him and his wife, and they went to a motel room, and his wife said, let's go to church tonight. And he said, okay, well, pick one. They were looking in the phone book and picked out a church. They happened to pick out the particular denomination I was in. She said, let's go to one of these, you know. And he said, I don't like those people. They're so narrow-minded, and they're so argumentative, and you know, and he was telling the truth. I mean, that was exactly, we were a bunch of Pharisees, and I was getting caught up into it too, folks, but God had mercy, and he delivered me, not because of my wisdom or my understanding. He delivered me by his grace, because he knew what he wanted to do with this vessel, this weak vessel. He knew what he wanted to do. So he finally realized, he felt that the Lord was evidently putting this in his wife, because it wasn't normally her. And he finally just agreed. He says, okay, let's go, you know. So the thing was, she had looked in the phone book, and in the phone book, it said that our particular church, can you imagine? Baton Rouge is full of churches. And here she sits down and looks in the phone books and picks out the church that we're going to, the one that he'd had a vision about, the person that he'd had a vision about. See, God is so sovereign, he can work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He can guide our minds when we don't even know he's doing it. And he's so sovereign, he can put instantaneous knowledge and understanding in you, too. Well, to make a long story short, what she saw in the phone book was actually not there. She saw that we were having church on a Friday night, and we didn't have church on Friday night. But to show you another strange, what the world would call coincidence, we were having church this Friday night. So here she thought, from the phone book we were having church, and we were. Because God made her see what he wanted her to see. So they ended up, the church had just built a school, and they were dedicating the school this Friday night. So all the people showed up there for this dedication, and this man who'd been a minister for many, many years, and actually had been a minister of this religion many years before. That's why he said he did not want to be involved with them, you know. He didn't want to get caught up in such a thing. But he showed up. Him and his wife showed up that night. And I saw him there. I didn't know he was an answer to the prayer that I had prayed. Lord, send me somebody to tell me the exact same thing you told me. Had no idea of that. But some of the brethren that were there and were more caught up in that religion and had the spirit of that religion more in them than I did, they drew this man aside and decided that we're going to convert this guy to our way of thinking. So they were a very sectarian bunch, you know, and they felt if they hadn't converted you to their way of thinking, that you just couldn't be one of them. You see, they weren't very merciful with people and gracious and put up with people's differences and let people grow at their own rate. They were very legalistic. And so they kind of cornered this preacher and his wife, and they were going to convert him to their way of thinking. Well, the man just had more understanding and knowledge than they did. And they got on the subject of the end times. And they began to question him, and he began to share some things that were just like what I had been sharing with him the week before. And I saw him over there talking to him, but I didn't pay much attention, and when it came time to leave, I just left. Well, those brethren called me up the next day, and they said, David, we ran into that guy last night. You saw him there. I said, yeah, I saw him. So we ran into him. We got to talking to him. When we left the meeting, we stayed in a meeting with him up until late, you know, I think 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And they were kind of excited because of some of the things he'd said. And so they said, you know, he's been telling us the exact same thing you told us. I says, oh, really? And they wanted to know if they could come over and bring him with them. And I said, sure, I'd like to hear what he's got to say, you know. So they brought him over. His name was Bolivar. They brought him over. And when they introduced him to me, he realized that my name was Eels, with two L's. And he just perked right up. I was the guy he was supposed to see from the vision. And he told me the vision, and I said, I told him, I said, well, you know, where you were on the interstate, we figured it out, folks. It was 3 miles. And you know how many L's there were in my house at that time? There were 3 of us. Myself, my wife, and my oldest daughter, who was very, very small, very young at that time. And so he was just totally excited. I was too, because I'd asked the Lord to send somebody. Well, this was a real confirmation to me that he had this vision of 3 miles to 3 L's. And there were 3 of us. We were 3 miles from the interstate where he was. And so I was very attentive to what he was saying. And you know, there were some other people in the room at the time. There was a brother who was in that church who had gotten a revelation of his own from God. It was from God. It was truly a revelation of the sons of God. Another brother there was the guy that witnessed to me and was the guy that got my curiosity up to read the Bible. His name was Don Robertson. He was there. And he got a revelation. Both of these men had revelations, like myself, that was just looking for somebody to come along and confirm them. The one brother got the revelation of the sons of God. He was also being persecuted by the church. He had a true revelation straight out of the Word, but he was being persecuted by the church. And Don had a revelation back when he was in the Baptist church. He was driving down the road, heard a preacher preaching on being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, Lord, if that's for me, I want it. And you know, God filled him with the Holy Spirit. and he began to speak in other tongues. And folks, some of you probably are objecting already, but let me tell you, you have to believe what the Bible says about tongues. You don't have to believe what the preachers say about tongues. What the Word of God says is it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what you must believe. Anyway, he got a revelation. He saw a vision. This brother Don saw a vision. He saw a man sitting in front of him dressed in a particular way, which was kind of peculiar to us Americans, dressed in a particular way, telling him about how to make the rapture. And in the vision, Don said to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, I'm a Baptist. We know all about the rapture." Well, the Lord evidently didn't agree with him because in the vision, he sent this man to tell him how to make the rapture, you know. And I know some of you probably have an argument with using the term rapture, but God is so gracious. He's weak to the weak. He puts things in terminology that most people can understand, you know. The word caught up is in the Bible, folks. And that's what people are interpreting to mean rapture, okay? So I don't try to argue with people over terminology. I try to get along with people over terminology. But at any rate, he saw this man in the vision. He held on to this vision for many years. Saw this man telling him how to make the rapture. But he thought as a Baptist he already had that revelation. Well, anyway, when he came in my home that night, he saw the man dressed the exact same way as he saw him in the vision. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Now sit down and listen." That's all he said to him. "Now sit down and listen." Well, I was very attentive, too, because I knew that this had to be the man that the Lord was sending to confirm my revelation, which had come in a supernatural way. And I was still a little nervous about the supernatural way that it came. Now, God's confirmed it to me many, many times since then, but this was the first confirmation he sent. So, I sat down there and asked a lot of questions. And I made sure it lined up with the Word. Because I tell you what, folks, that no matter how many supernatural revelations you get, if it don't line up with the Word, it's not the truth. And the Lord will try you to see if you'll depart from that Word. In fact, in Deuteronomy 13:1, he even said false prophets will come to you to try you to see if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. And it will be a trial from God to see if you respect his word. And I totally respect his word. And I'm still learning a lot. You know, I don't want to box God out and cut myself off from the spirit of revelation. So I trust in the word. I tremble before the word. Well, anyway, this man totally confirmed exactly what the Lord had told me the week before. He shared with Don a revelation that the Baptist Church doesn't have concerning what's coming in the end times. And the other guy, his name was Skip. Skip had the revelation of the sons of God, and he shared that with him. Isn't it amazing that God could get three such people who were being ostracized and by religion and all in the same room and all waiting for a confirmation, and along comes the confirmation. Well, let me tell you something, folks. That happened after I was about a year old in the Lord, and for over 30 years it's been happening to me ever since. God's been speaking to me. Speaking to this weak vessel, remember, God's power is made perfect in weakness. And I will therefore glory in my weaknesses that the power of God may rest upon me. I need the power of God when I get up to speak to people. Because if Jesus don't show up when I'm talking, folks, I'm in trouble and everybody's listening to me is too. So, anyway, Bolivar confirmed those revelations, and after that, I've received many, many revelations like this. God was preparing me, folks, to share things that were literally hidden from the foundation of the world and are buried under 2,000 years of apostate religion. It's in the Word plainly, written there for all to see, but religion has really destroyed the work of God for 2,000 years, folks. We're in a great apostasy, a great falling away. the Lord showed me one of the revelations he spoke to me loud and clear was that everything that happened in the days of Jesus and the apostles, in the days of the book of Acts and the book and the Gospels, everything that happened in those days is being repeated in the end times, except the cast of characters is multiplied many times over. History just repeats, folks. It just repeats in bigger and bigger ways, but it repeats. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. It just happens in bigger and bigger ways with larger groups of people. That's all. Now, what Jesus came in his day and found was that Judaism had become so apostate, they didn't reflect anything that the Word of God was saying. Their leaders were apostate. They couldn't recognize the Lord of glory. They didn't recognize their Messiah. They even said that he did works by Beelzebub and accused him of working for the devil. They didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize the truth. They had no love for the truth. They only had a love for their little religious sectarian kingdom. Today, folks, it's the same way. You can't bring truth to many of God's people. They've been so indoctrinated with apostasy, with a respect for men and a respect for religion, that if Jesus showed up today, and he does, they would throw him out of their church. And they're doing it because he is showing up, and they are throwing him out. He said, "He that receiveth you receiveth me." And I know for a fact that the Lord has sent me to churches. I don't claim to be anybody. Again, I don't have any letters behind my name. And I don't claim to be anybody. But I do know that the Lord has given me some things to share with the people of God. And I'm going to share some things with you if you continue to come and listen to this program that are going to shake your foundation. And not because I'm anybody, but because the Lord has chosen this weak vessel to show things to. Listen, folks, when God started giving me the word knowledge and wisdom, I thought I had some things figured out. And I realized that I didn't have anything figured out, that I was just listening to men. And I needed to repent. And I needed to accept all of what the Word of God had to say. So he started showing me the principles of truth. He started showing me how to check everything out. Any word of knowledge or any word of wisdom that I received, to check it all out with the Word. Make sure it fit. Make sure there's no verses that came against it. And he started giving me these understandings. And I'm going to be sharing them with you in the days ahead. And I can assure you that the things that I share are going to enable many of you to grow up very quickly in the Lord. I don't have any confidence in myself. My confidence is in the Lord. He's a great Savior. He will deliver you from any of the religious traps that you're in. He will deliver you from any corruption of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, as the Bible says. His salvation is so much bigger than we've been led to believe. It is so complete. It is so perfect. What Jesus did on the cross was totally complete. He delivered you from all sin. He healed your body from every sickness. He saved you in every circumstance. We're going to study the real gospel in the days ahead. The awesome gospel that the Lord showed me was in the scriptures. And you're going to be so convinced that many of you are going to walk in the power of God like you never have before. You know, I've had a miraculous life. Since day one, I've had a miraculous life. The first miracle that God did with me was to make a studious person out of me. And I began to act on the things that the Lord was showing me in the Word of God. And I saw signs and wonders and miracles. Been having them since I was a baby Christian. Signs and wonders and miracles. And I'll share some of them with you. And I'm sure that the principles that I share are going to cause many of you to enter into great signs and wonders and miracles. And I believe that you're going to be prepared through the things that I share in the weeks to come to endure some troubles that are coming upon this world. We're going to talk about the end times. The Lord's given me a lot of revelations about the end times. Again, I'm not bragging because I know it's not me. It's God. And I didn't earn it. It's not by works. It's by grace. You know, like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And you'll recognize that I'm not a gifted speaker in the world. And that the gift that comes through me, it'll be like the awe that the Pharisees and Sadducees had with those disciples, because they knew that they were just ignorant fishermen, just ignorant, unlearned men. But they took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. Now, folks, you can go through Bible school if you want. You know, they understood, as the verse I read in John, how did this man understand letters having never learned? They knew that Jesus had wonderful revelations, but they also know that he didn't go to their Bible school. They knew that what he received it some other way. And I want to tell you, folks, there is another way. God still chooses people that can't afford Bible school, but they have a walk with Jesus, like those disciples. They took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. Well, I've been with Jesus. I've been with him for over 30 years now. And he's been talking to me. I asked him many, many years ago, Lord, take me by the hand like a little child and teach me how to be your disciple. I want to know how to be your disciple. Folks, there are a lot of Christians, but few disciples. Disciple meaning the word mathetes, meaning a learner and a follower. You're studying Jesus to walk in his steps. The sad thing is, folks, that most of Christianity don't even believe this is a possibility, to walk in the steps of Jesus. But the Bible tells us in 1 John, let everyone that says that they abide in him walk as he walked. Now, John wasn't crazy. He knew what he was saying, and he knew that the word of the Lord was coming through him. We can walk in the steps of Jesus because Jesus will walk it in us. You know, Jesus is the Word of God, folks. People say, Jesus lives in me. Jesus is in my heart. But let me tell you, he's only in you to the extent that you will repent and let the Word of God live in you. He is the Word. Repent means to change your mind. You know, what we've got to do, we have our program is all wrong. We have to reprogram our computer. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to repent as we read the Word of God daily. I mean, repentance is not something that you do before you come to know Jesus. Repentance is something that you do when you come to know Jesus and continue to repent as you know Jesus. Because repentance is the process of changing out your software. It's the process of reprogramming your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, Jesus lives in us to the extent his word lives in us, because he is the word. The sower went forth to sow the seed. The seed was the word of God. And where did he sow it? In the hearts of men. And what happened to the people that received it humbly and were good earth? Well, they brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that fruit, folks, is Jesus Christ. No, it's not other souls. Read it carefully. It's Jesus Christ in you. Actually, the word in that chapter in several places for seed is sperma. The sperma of Jesus Christ is his word. It will bring forth in you himself by his word. If you will humble yourself to the word of God, to the extent you let that word live in you, to that extent he will live in you. It's God's plan to manifest in us his son, Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to cooperate. The sad thing is that the church is in the same place it was 2,000 years ago, in a great falling away. 2,000 years ago, the first church was, of course, those Jews that came out of apostate Judaism and followed Jesus. Remember, Jesus in John chapter 10 spoke about going into the sheepfold and calling his sheep by name and calling them out. And he was calling them out of apostate Judaism, all the denominations of apostate Judaism that were keeping God's people from knowing him. And he called these chosen people out to follow him. And they were later called the church, which was, well, the word ecclesia, it's been translated church, which is not quite right. But the word ecclesia means the called out ones. They were called out of apostate denominations of Judaism. Now remember, the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it said, these things happened unto them, speaking about the Jews, by way of an example. The word example there is type or figure, by way of an example. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So, God made an example, a type, a shadow of the Jews in their life, for a much larger people called the church, right? The ecclesia. All right, so what's happening in our day is exactly what was happening in that day. History is repeating. Now God is beginning to call out a group of people out of apostate Christianity. They are the ecclesia, the called out ones. They're still called out. We are called out from among them to be separate. You know, Babylon is in one form a parable in the Bible of the apostate people of God. We're called out from among them. He says, come out of her, my people. God is calling his people out of apostate religion, apostate Babylon, where they've been held captive, where they haven't been able to see all of the truth. And you know what Jesus said about the truth, right? The truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, folks, that's my ministry. My ministry, the Lord told me many years ago, was to do just that, call his people out. And we're seeing a lot of fruit in these days. I'm seeing a great number of people that are getting their eyes open to understand that religion is not all there is to Christianity. And that just as those early disciples were called out by Jesus, that God is in these days calling out a group of people to follow him, to hear his voice, and to be educated by him instead of the apostate institutions of Christianity. Well, folks, the blind are still leading the blind in these days. Repent. Read that book like it's the first time you ever read it. Read it and believe everything you read. Be patient with yourself and with God. God wants to lead you into his likeness. He wants to manifest his son in you. As we study the real true gospel in the days ahead, we're going to see the great provision that God had, the plan that he had from the foundation of the world to bring forth seed to the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Jesus was the new father of the born-again creation. His seed is going to live in his people. His people are going to be highly motivated in the days to come because of the tribulations and troubles that are going to come upon this world. His seed are going to be highly motivated to walk with him, His seed is going to repent. His seed is going to manifest himself. We're going to talk about in the days to come about the epiphany that God said was going to happen in these days, which is the manifestation of Christ in his people, and the parousia, which is the literal coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about those things. I want to tell you a little bit about our assembly here. I'm sitting, by the way, I'm not in a sound booth, as you've probably heard a cough or something here or there. You know, I'm sitting in the middle of a room full of people. And we actually have been having a PAL Talk Bible study. We departed from our PAL Talk Bible study to start this program. And as soon as this is over in a few minutes, we're going right back to it. You can go to my site and join us if you like. I invite you to go to my site. It's www.americaslastdays.com. America's with an S, last days with an S, .com. And you'll find many awesome teachings and revelations there that I'm convinced that some of you will be very excited about. Some of you will receive confirmations of things that the Lord has shown you. I'm running into a lot of people these days that God has spoken to them some of the same revelations he's spoken to me. And they've been looking for somebody to give them a confirmation. Kind of like back over 30 years ago when God sent Bolivar to me to give me a confirmation of what the Lord spoke to me. And it grounded it in me good. I thought, you know, you're tempted to think you're crazy sometimes when you get a revelation and everybody around you tells you, no, that's not true. It can't be. Well, folks, you're going to find out that God has spoken to some of you. Yeah. Trust in the Lord. You're going to learn to trust in his voice. You're going to learn not to trust in what men have said, what men who tried to impress you with their magnificence and the multitudes, you know. Had a guy tell me a while back his ministry was bigger than mine, so therefore it showed God's pleasure in his ministry. I said, well, maybe you should go join the Catholic Church, because I came out of the Catholic Church. It's very big. But I also realized there were a lot of people there who didn't know the Lord, you know. You know, in many ways, multitudes don't mean anything, folks. Jesus came to the multitudes. He came to the big churches in his day. And, folks, the people that followed him, went out and sat on a rock. They didn't have the fine temples. They didn't have all the educated preachers. But they went out there and they walked with God. And they became disciples. And they shook the world. And that's where we're headed, folks. We're going to shake this world again. Jesus Christ is coming to be manifested in his people. And we're going to shake this world again by his grace. He is going to stand up in his people and reveal wondrous things, wondrous truths. And it is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to the days to come. I've received many revelations from the Lord over the years of the great things that God is going to do in these last days. To restore his people. A great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is about to be poured out on his people, called the latter rain. And I know that some of you thought we've already been in the latter rain, but that's not true. Hosea 6:2 tells us that it doesn't happen until the morning of the third day, which we have just come to the morning of the third prophetic day. A day is under the Lord's 1,000 years. In these days, God is about to pour out the latter rain. He's about to pour out the unleavened bread. Maybe I'll get to tell you next time why we named this the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. He's about to pour out the unleavened bread. He's about to restore the leadership as it was in the beginning. The man-child ministry in Revelation 12. He's about to begin that ministry, folks. These three things together are going to restore the church to the glory even greater than the glory it had in the time of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is going to restore all things that the palmer worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar has stolen from his people. You recognize Joel chapter 2, right? He is going to restore all things. That was true in Jesus' day for the people that came out of Judaism, and it's true in our day for the people who come out of apostate Christianity. Great restoration. The former rain for them, the latter rain for us.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
My thirsting soul, pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you.